Last week I was walking along the path up there by the academic center, and I noticed some students throwing the frisbee on the hill. And it got me thinking, it's pretty fun to throw the frisbee in the spring, isn't it? You get a nice day out there, you get some friends, throw the frisbee around. You guys agree? In fact, I think it's so fun, I'd like to throw the frisbee right now. Anybody, any volunteers, anybody want to throw a frisbee with me? Nobody? Somebody stand up. Prof, would you stand up?
Sure.
Well, first of all, I should show you my frisbee. Right here. So, yeah, I'm assuming that Prof probably doesn't want me to throw this at him. Thanks. Now, although that's a somewhat humorous example for us, and it seems kind of ridiculous, it's interesting how we fall into that same trap every day. And just as I was deceptive about the type of frisbee I was going to use, so Satan is deceptive about the type of temptations he gives us. Surely it was a no-brainer for Prof. Kranz to resist that frisbee. He didn't want to slice his hand open. It seems pretty obvious. But from day to day, we're tempted by Satan and we don't resist. And we're not resisting something that is like a simple cut on the hand. We're trying to struggle against something much more. The name for Satan used in the Bible is literally the accuser. And the Apostle John tells us in the book of Revelation that Satan is accusing us day and night before the throne of God. He's not going to stop at anything to try to get us into his fold. And as we think about Satan accusing us, it brings a certain picture to our mind. And, you know, it makes us contemplate some of the things that he can accuse us of. You know, think about this example, for instance, something that we all fall into. You're talking with a group of friends, and the name of somebody comes up in that discussion, somebody that's wronged you recently, and somebody that you want to get back at. And, you know, that your sinful flesh really wants to get at that person. It really wants to point out that person's faults in front of those other people to try to justify yourself a little bit. You know, it'll feel so good inside if you can just vent for a little bit and let everybody know how bad that person is. But, you know, think about it more clearly. Is that really our right to do that? Is that really part of the freedom that Christ has given us? Far from it. Rather, it is that frisbee of Satan, something that looks like something good, but in fact is something deadly. How about another example where Satan can accuse us? I know that Jesus doesn't want us to swear or use vulgar language, but everybody does it. By the way, just a note here, if you have to use that as your justification for doing something, the fact that everybody else does it, it's probably not a good idea to do it. But anyway, using bad language, I mean, this is just the 21st century. That's just the way things are done nowadays. These excuses, these rationalizations of our mind is the frisbee, that saw blade that Satan is trying to throw at you, to try to cut you down from Christ. And these are just two examples of certain problems that could come up in our lives, and how often, I'm sure, you know, something else has come to your mind as I've been talking about this. You know, it happens to us every day. It seems that as much as we look at our problems and the daily struggles that we have, we can become depressed that there is nothing we can do. Well, we return to the Scriptures for our answers. Paul comforts the Ephesians by reminding them of the many gifts that God has given them to help against these temptations of Satan and evil. We read from Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice what Paul directs the Ephesians to do, and you can substitute your name in here as well. He doesn't tell them to fight the battle of sin with all their might. He doesn't tell them to amaze the people of the day with their vast knowledge of the Scriptures. He doesn't even tell them to run head-on to the onslaught of Satan and his hordes. He simply tells them to stand. When the evils of life have you down, when Satan's temptations leave you standing at the brink, put on Christ that you may stand. Satan is certainly going to try to shoot his fiery darts at us and throw saw blades of destruction at us. But with the directive of the Christian, the comfort that we have is that we can stand in Christ. Let's look at how Paul states it. Put on the whole armor of God. This isn't our armor. This is God's gift to us. Gird your waist with truth. We wear the truth of Christ as a victor who has conquered. This truth shows us that Christ fulfills His promises and that we can trust in Him. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness that Christ won on our behalf when He suffered, died, and rose again from the dead. This is the true defense that we have, and when Satan tempts us, we can look him in the face and we can say, Christ has done it for me. Cover your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the gospel directing our every step, we can confidently state with Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Take the shield of faith. Faith clings to the work of Christ. With it is our protection. There's nothing that Satan can throw at us that will get through our defenses. Take the helmet of salvation. Just as the Romans' plume on the top of their helmet was a sign of their command and leadership, so that helmet of salvation is a sign of the victory that we have in Christ. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. Take that, which is the Word of God. This is the weapon of the believer. This is the source with which we are able to slash through the lies of Satan. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sharpest sword of all, able to pierce to the hearts of men. It's true that Satan is cunning and that he comes to us in many forms. Sometimes he comes to forms in us that are obviously wrong, and we can see those readily. But sometimes it's not so easy for us to see. Sometimes he comes to us in ways that look like something good. But regardless of the situation, use the gifts God has given you. Put on the full armor of God. Because Satan will not stop, and I can guarantee you that you can't stop him. Trust in the one who has crushed his head, the one who has defeated him. Take the sword of Christ, his word, and cast Satan down. Let us thank the Lord that no matter how much Satan tries, no matter what accusation he brings before God, he can't do anything to hurt us. We can stand in Christ. Amen. We close with hymn 450. Verses 1, 3, and 4.